This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Great to be with Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. It is Monday, and it's time to get after it. We have baseball to talk about. Diego Gigliani, the president of St. Louis City SC, is going to join us at 12:15 with some information about the World Cup that is coming to North America this summer. And also, we're going to visit with Bob Ramsey, who is on his way to Dayton, Ohio, to go see the Billikens take on the Flyers. What's up, Ranch?
That's a game that's going to happen. That's the one I was worried about.
Yeah.
Is that Dayton game.
Yeah.
Just a little nervous about it.
Oh,
so,
I hear you. That's being a tough place to play.
I know they got rolled up by the Billikens when they played here, but it's different when you go on the road. So hopefully they can hold court here.
We'll see what happens. It's going to be tomorrow night, and we'll have that broadcast. We got a lot going on, no question about it. There's going to be a lot of discussion for a long, long time about what we saw yesterday with the United States hockey team winning gold. That was just so special. I mean, just so special. I mean, we talked about it yesterday on Sports on a Sunday Morning, like in real time. It happened 10 minutes before we went on the air. We're just all like, I'm just blown away by it. I just thought it was so cool. Great for the sport and a wonderful story of toughness, how they gutted that thing out against a better team. Canada has a great, great hockey team. I mean, they're just loaded with talent, but it doesn't matter if you don't win the game. And I love what Jack Hughes said. He said, that was American hockey. American hockey, you know, tough. He has his teeth knocked out. He's bleeding as he's doing this interview. I love it. They found a way to win the game. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. And as has been pointed out, they were outplayed for the majority of the game. But when you have a goaltender who was doing what Connor Hellebuyck was doing, it's really tough to beat that. And so that man, he was special yesterday.
Yeah, totally cool. Kind of awkward now. He goes back to the Winnipeg Jets. Mm-hmm. So has to deal with that for a little while.
And Bennington played well, too.
Bennington was great. And what I love about Benner is he's great. He doesn't have to see action for minutes at a time. And then he makes a save. Hellebuck's facing save after save, you know, shot after shot. Sometimes
it's harder.
Benner doesn't see anything, but he is a, you know, he's a gamer.
Yeah.
Hellebuyck had that reputation of not coming through in big moments. He did there. That'll cement his legacy for a long, long time. And he will play, I was looking at the schedule, at Anaheim on Friday. That'll be his first game on U.S. soil. So I would expect a special ovation for him. And guess who's going to be in town on Saturday afternoon at Enterprise Center? Jack Hughes mm-hmm. and the New Jersey Devils. So Blues fans get to serenade him. That should be fun as well. So, yeah, that was just all in all really, really special. And I think we're going to feel this for a long, long time. The women winning it on Thursday, the men winning it on Sunday, and the United States sweeping the gold medal games at the Winter Olympics, which have come to an end, and they will move to Nice, I do believe, next year.
You know,
2030.
When I was a kid, it was always really sad to me when the Winter Olympics, well, both Olympics actually, would come to an end. Because for that 2 weeks, that's sort of what you did, right? I mean, it was on TV, so it was like the routine you settle into. You watch the Olympics. Right. And then it happens for a couple of weeks and then it's over. It was always sad during that time. I think I've, you know, with the exception of a few events here and there, as a sports fan, I've kind of fallen out with the Olympics. Not that I hate them. I just don't have the same level of passion for it that I used to. And I'm not sure what it is, but it's just not the same. But with the gold medal game yesterday, that changes a lot because it had been 46 years since they had won. And to do something that is highly unusual and hardly ever happens, that'll inject a little life into you. And that's what happened yesterday with people around the country celebrating and having parties doing it. Early morning parties, bars opening up early so people could go and watch. That was really special.
Really, really neat. So is be the French Alps is where it'll be in 2030. And we're going to have really just an incredible time following. I grew up more of a Summer Olympics fan, and I've become more of a Winter Olympics fan. I just love the unique sports that they provide, and the viewing is just off the charts. Awesome. I just, I love it. It really is fun. I'll tell you what's just beginning though, my friend, and that is baseball.
Now, a St. Louis Cardinals spring training report, sponsored by St. Louis Composting. Composting, growing gardens and making memories. And by Happy Roof. We always create happy endings on the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Fellas, I can't be with you live today. Mike Claiborne and myself are broadcasting the Cardinals and the Marlins over at MLB.com, Cardinals.com, and of course the MLB app as well. We did hear from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol earlier today, taking a look at the lineup and just something that's of note. Jimmy Crooks is starting today behind the plate. This is our first opportunity to see him. Big spring for him as he is competing for a major league job. And when we talked with Ollie this morning, he talked a little bit about what they're looking for from the young catcher.
A combination of things. Some of them are communication related. Some of them are swing related. I think when you look at the catching side of things, there's a lot of progress being made there. There's a better understanding of his time in the big leagues, what he struggled with, what he did well offensively, and some of the mechanical and approach adjustments that need to take place there. And then from a communication standpoint with Dusty, staff, that's an ongoing thing with any young player, is them getting to the point where they're comfortable enough truly expressing themselves and not just saying okay.
Michael McGreevy is making the start today for the Cardinals as we see him for the first time in Grapefruit League play. Of course, last year was an interesting year for him where he was up and down throughout the season. His overall numbers at the big league level, not bad. He had an 8-4 record and a 4.42 ERA. Ollie said that they really learned a lot about McGreevy last year and they're looking forward to him taking a step forward this season.
He doesn't seem bothered by a whole lot. And that's really cool to see out of a young guy. It's not that things don't bother him, but he stays locked in. Like, everyone's going to experience something throughout the course of a game that throws you off. Like, the skill is to refocus, and he does that really quickly. Young guys tend to miss, like, they have a gap between when something throws them off and their ability to, like, refocus. So he doesn't take himself too serious, where things just kind of, like, he just keeps going to the next thing, next moment, stay present, and he does that really well, which is not normal for his age. So that part of it was impressive. Areas of improvement, how he attacks lefties and being able to kind of not be predictable in certain counts and situations. But all things he's aware of.
From a big picture standpoint, they are being very careful with pitchers. They did the same thing last year. And when you think about the amount of help that they had with pitching last season, it seemed to work. Ollie did say that the ramp-up process for different pitchers might be a little bit slower and even stretch into the regular season just as a way to make sure that they are giving guys the best opportunity to be healthy throughout the whole season.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, whether that's the throwing programs and build-up leading into arriving at camp, some guys were comfortable with that build-up being a little bit more aggressive and being able to throw lives and throw multiples sooner, maybe. And then there's some where we've slow-plated it because we understand they know their bodies really well and don't need the full spring training to ramp up as a reliever, like a Stanek. JoJo plays into that as well, where he'll use spring training to ramp up. Some guys don't have that luxury and need to arrive ready. So individualizing that is important. But yeah, we've messed around a decent amount with that. Even the beginning of the season last year, we allowed for a couple weeks of taking guys out after 80 pitches in order to protect September at the expense of you guys yelling at me, but yeah.
Again, fellas, it is the Cardinals and the Marlins today going on right now. Folks want to hear it, they're able to do so on MLB.com, Cardinals.com, and also the MLB app. Cardinals have a night game tomorrow, so I'll be back with you live tomorrow. Looking forward to that. At Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, Florida, Matt Pauley, KMOX Sports.
Matt, we're always looking forward to joining you, and we appreciate that. Have a great call today. When we come back, we'll talk some soccer and the World Cup coming this summer to North America. The president of St. Louis City SC, Diego Giuliani, will be with us to talk about City's 1-1 draw, but also the World Cup and the events surrounding that. Back in a moment This is the Gas House Gang. It's sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
Against Zaha, center line. Yeah. Edelman got it forward to Betcher. Betcher to Cello. He got it.
Future scores! Marcel Hornell in the 60th minute! City lead!
Oh, my goodness. The sounds of Joey Zanaboni are back on Y98 FM.
Baby. I saw Joey outside the building on Saturday. He was standing right by the Clydesdales.
How was our bearded friend doing?
He was good. He was admiring the Budweiser Clydesdales, and I was admiring them too.
I admire Joey Zanaboni.
He's great.
He brings a lot of energy to the broadcast. We always appreciate him. With Chris Ronji, I'm Tom Ackerman. It is the Gas House Gang, and we are joined by the president of St. Louis City SC, Diego Giuliani. It's always great to talk to you, Diego. I enjoy these conversations very much. How are you doing?
Great, Tom. Good to speak to you, too.
Happy Monday to you. I want you to tell the audience what you told me yesterday about USA defeating Canada, how your kids were watching it and really into it.
Absolutely, yeah. No, definitely Winter Olympics have arrived at our home for sure, and it was an exciting game. USA winning it there in overtime. My kids jumping up and down. It's funny, 3 years ago, they'd never watched an ice hockey game in their life. Now there they are cheering on USA.
Yeah, I think the casual fans, even they got into it yesterday morning because that was a lot of fun and a fantastic run. And Diego, the season has started. Was able to go to the opener on Saturday. A little chilly, but a pretty nice day. And the game ends in a tie. You must be happy to get this season underway finally.
Yeah, excited to be back after 4 months of not having a game at Energizer Park. And while I am definitely happy with how the team showed up and how we played, it's one of those games where we deserve to win it. So to be able to walk away with 1 point instead of three is also a little frustrating.
I'm sure it is. And, you know, you have a different look here now moving forward. You have a new sporting director. You have a new coach. You have some new personnel. What is the identity of St. Louis City SC? What exactly do you want to accomplish here moving forward as you try to, as you told me yesterday and as Carolyn Kendall has echoed, that they believe internally here that this team has a chance to make the playoffs. That's what they want. What is the identity of this team moving forward?
I mean, the identity in many ways hasn't changed from what we aspired for the identity of this team to be, which is an aggressive, a front foot game. We're taking the control of the game, both defensively and offensively, to entertain our fans and to show them a style of football that connects with the city's DNA. That is really what we've been trying to play from season one and what we will continue trying to do this season and do so better. And of course, we have ambition as a sports team in St. Louis. We know that sports fans here are used to creating winning teams, and that's what we want to put out there as well.
Yeah, and Carolyn Kendall, you know, she before the last season said that making the playoffs is the goal, and that's what they expect to happen. And in order for that to happen this year with a new team, and I guess it's sort of a multi-part question here, but how long do you think it will take before you really truly know what the identity of this team is and then therefore know what the path to the playoffs are in the style that City's going to play?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a moving target. You know, seeing how the team showed up in the first game gives us a lot of belief that the 6 weeks of preseason were well spent with teams understanding how Johan and his coaching staff want to play and being able to bring that to life already in game day one. But we have had some missing players, including some that we signed in the last few weeks that haven't yet even started training with the team. And we also know that we've got the midseason window coming in May, where we expect to also improve the team. So this is going to be a living and breathing evolution of a team that we hope that, you know, by the end of the season, you can start seeing what a competitive team that should be able to aspire for playoffs looks like.
I wanted to ask you also about just stadium operations. What new things did people take in, and maybe just in terms of flow of the stadium, you guys have now probably found your groove at this point. One of the spectacular stadiums in the sport also has a lot of people involved on a game day. How did the fans take it? What are the reviews after day one?
Reviews are amazing. I mean, and you could tell being in there, first of all, how full it was, but also the fact that there were so many fans standing up in those last 10 minutes of the game is an amazing indicator of us being able to project the energy from the field to the stands. We are now going on the beginning of our fourth season with consecutive sellouts for every single game. So that just shows the amount of interest that there is and support from our fans. It was a cold day, as you know, but it was a beautiful sunny day. And we had so many fans there supporting, and we hope that that translates into more fans wanting to come to Energizer Park in the next few games.
Well, it is always a lot of fun at Energizer Park. The stadium itself is gorgeous. I think we all know that, and we've been talking about it for several years. And so to have this be a location for, you know, international games or potential World Cup games or Olympic games, you know, that sort of thing in the future, how easy is it? I'm assuming easy is not the right word for this because it's always difficult to get these things in. But how much does the building itself and the atmosphere and what's been built there in Midtown, how does that help in attracting these events to the stadium?
It attracts. It matters a lot. It matters a lot. It matters a lot to the teams that are looking at where to play to see not just the quality of the pitch and the facility itself, but also the life that gets breathed into that facility. You know, we've had the U.S. men's and women's national teams come here multiple times, and they come back because they know that the city shows up and supports them. They also get the results, actually, sporting-wise. But yeah, you know, with the Olympics now being confirmed that they're going to be coming here in LA 28, we've had Premier League team here, we've had a Bundesliga team here, and we know that this is a great stadium and option for some of the top national and international teams exploring where to play. And that's part of the goal of why it was created at this level, to bring international soccer to St. Louis as well.
Diego, is there any news on hosting a national team during the World Cup?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tom. I mean, we have been working on this for many, many months. Even some conversations started over a year ago. And, you know, we are now getting to that last stage. Unfortunately, it is looking increasingly unlikely that we're going to be selected for a base camp. It's not final yet, but it is now more progressed. And we've been in communication with many national teams, with FIFA. Many of those are now being announced, and unfortunately, it looks unlikely that we're going to get one.
Any indication why that is?
Yeah, there's a few main reasons why. I mean, now that we understand really, really clearly what they're looking for, there's, you know, two really easy to understand reasons. The first is we're not a host city, right? So teams are looking at the group stage games after their draw, and they're trying to be located in a city where they at least can avoid one travel. So you take an example like Argentina, who has announced that they will be staying in Kansas City. They're playing one of their group stage games in Kansas City. So that's an important factor. We're not a host city. We never were. But we're realizing that that many teams would like to prioritize being in a location where at least one of their group stage games are being played. And then the second thing, and this one was a bit more surprising, is that it's the one time where our location as a training facility in a downtown area actually played against us. Because many teams, the more we spoke to them, we realized that their preference was to be away from downtown in a secluded and private area, rather than, you know, in the heart of a downtown that's accessible and you know, closer to fans, which is frustrating, right? Because this was created, this academy and this training facility stadium, as the only fully downtown, fully integrated MLS team campus in the country. And we're really proud about that. That was a big statement around us wanting to be about this city in the middle of the city. But frustrating on this occasion, because we spoke to many national teams and they instead prefer the, you know, college campus that isn't a professional sporting or professional soccer team setup, but it is, you know, good fields surrounded by trees in a quiet area. So those would be the two main reasons why we haven't had it. I know also hotels was a criteria for some national teams, but we're not close enough to that area and do obviously understand the two most important criteria as well.
So, I mean, it's a little counterintuitive because the understanding was that MLS wants to build in a city. They want stadiums to be in downtown areas and not off in suburbs. That's a that was a directive sort of in getting this stadium built here. So, I mean, could it be in the future that you just maybe add some ways to block out the view of people? You know, I know there are ways that you could put up tarps and that sort of thing. Would they did you hear anything like that, that if it were to be retrofitted in some way, that these practice fields in this location would be more suitable for them?
I mean, we did explore many different options, including building some stuff. But, you know, the other option is to just train some of those games. Sorry, have some of those training sessions in the stadium itself, which is a lot more private and secluded. But, you know, we have our team that trains in our training facility every week. The U.S. men's and women's national team, when they come, they've used our training facility there as well. So for the majority of needs, I think we will still be fine. This is a bit of a particular case where you do have national teams that are coming for 15 days in a very, you know, once every 4 year opportunity to compete. And there, you know, we found a lot of head coaches that are a lot more obsessive about this need to be fully private. So even with some of those options that we explored with them, we still found it an uphill battle versus some of the other options that they found in other cities.
Well, we appreciate you explaining all of that to us. And I know it's a one-time shot, but it's also an opportunity to engage your fan base and also pick up on, you know, we talked about how the U.S. beating Canada was huge for the game of hockey. I mean, having the World Cup here is huge for the game of soccer. I'm sure you won't miss an opportunity to engage your fans from the little ones all the way to your oldest generation.
Yeah, and I do think that is what we're focusing on. I mean, bringing a team to base camp has been an important focus over many months, as I mentioned, but there's so many other things we have planned. And, you know, we've got watch parties. We're going to do a lot of grassroots soccer. We're going to create a lot of content celebrating World Cup in moments, trying to do some, you know, post-World Cup activations to bring first-time fans into our building. So there's a lot of stuff that fans are going to see and be able to participate in. So we are, you know, full guns blazing, focused on that.
Diego, we appreciate your time very much. Thank you for doing this. Back-to-back appearances for Diego Giuliani on KMOX. You're always welcome. You know that. And we love having you on the station. And Y98 FM, of course, is the home. But I feel like KMOX is the home of the city programming, if you will. All of your special shows. We have Jen Cease involved. It's awesome. So thank you so much, Diego.
Thank you again, Tom.
Appreciate it. President of St. Louis City SC, Diego Giuliani.
Giuliani. That's the right way to say it.
Yeah. He told me once upon a time that you can say it anyway. You know, there's an Americanized Gigliani. I think he likes the Giuliani.
So I wish somebody would have told me that, because that's the way I wanted to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Well, from the start. And then I heard it being pronounced the other way, and I thought, oh, I guess I'm wrong. So I went with Gigliani, and now I feel like a dope.
You could do like, in between, you could do a soft G and a hard G. So you could say Gigliani.
Gigliani could do that.
I think he likes Gigliani also.
All right.
You know?
Well, I'm going to go with what he wants.
Yeah, you know, it's good. It's good. Back on the Gas House Gang, our visit with the voice of the Billikens, Bob Ramsey, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri, our Billiken Report, and good afternoon, Rammer. Looking forward to the Dayton game tomorrow night.
Yeah, Tom, how are you? It's back on the road again, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And this one to one of the great venues in college basketball, Dayton Arena. And been going there a long time, since the mid-80s. And it's always a challenge. The people are great. The fans are great. But it can be a house of horrors for any visitor. So, you know, mixed emotions going in. But seriously, you know, it's been a great year, and challenges make you better.
Yeah, and I do feel like this is going to be a challenge. You know, they'll be waiting. The Billikens drilled them 102-71 on that raucous night at Chaffetz Arena. And that's really the last time, Bob, that the Billikens played a complete game from start to finish. And I'm certain the Flyers haven't forgotten.
Yeah, you know, two things on that. One, I think you're right. That was such a beatdown. To Dayton, because, you know, there have been some other great scores before and since then. But I think that's about the best the Billikens can play, certainly to that point in the year. You know, things have leaked out a little bit, slow start since then, including the good victory Friday against VCU. So slow starts have been a problem. And so for me, the concern going to Dayton is they absolutely will want payback, A. And B, falling behind them in that arena with that great crowd, that's a recipe for disaster. So there's kind of two ways to look at that going in.
The Billikens playing right now, based on the second half against VCU, as well as they can go. I mean, that was absolutely gas pedal down. You know, we've seen some second half bursts from them where they went on a 10-0, 12-0 run. I mean, that one was a complete flip, and there were a lot of layers to it, I think. Weren't there, Raymer?
Yeah, you know, there were. It's funny, a week ago, Tuesday, the Bills, same situation, fell behind, but they never could get a run. They could not get a run going against Rhode Island, to the Roadies' credit. You tip your cap to that. They wouldn't let the Bills get out and get one of those. The stat guys call them kill shots now, 10-0 or more runs. So, but they did, and as you said, even more so, it was a tidal wave against VCU in the second half, on Friday. So that's where we stand now. You know, you go in, hopefully you'll avoid the slow start, and then hopefully you can get a couple of those kill shot runs to sort of, we've learned that that's the Bills' game, to get on those runs that just hammer the opponent and sort of, take the goodwill they have for themselves. You just take the win right out of their sails. So, yeah, those are the things you hope for looking in.
Kellen Thames is such a difference maker. And, you know, I looked at that Dayton game. I was actually surprised to find that he only had 3 points in that game. I mean, he makes a difference in other areas, but he only had 3 points and he had three turnovers in 16 minutes in that game. He was phenomenal against VCU.
You know, in both games against VCU, Kellen was dominant. I don't think there's any other way to put it, dominant. And then some other guys who had been, you know, a little bit under the radar in these the other most recent games in February, including Brady Dunlop. You look at Brady's numbers on Friday night, you know, he didn't have a very good game. But he did all the stuff that are more or less intangibles, diving for loose balls, help out defense, getting on the boards. And, you know, he didn't score, didn't have a field goal, but he was like a plus 19. Now, I don't know what you think of the plus minus. I think in basketball can be a little overrated, but there are some indications in relativity to teammates who have made more or less impact on a given game. So those two guys who had been a little quieter recently really stepped up. And I think tomorrow night against Dayton on CamelX, those two guys, well, really, all nine players that are in the normal rotation are going to have impact.
Yeah, I love this conversation because another guy that jumps out to me in that respect is Otieno. You know, Otieno does so much to help this team, make so many winning plays that don't always show up in the box score.
Yeah, and what he's done, his game has really elevated, in particular on the defensive side is where you need it. And you know, averaging 90 points a game, we can talk about the Billikens offense, and it is spectacular. And it is really fun to watch. But the hallmark for them to win is defense. And what Paul does, not only on the boards, guarding bigs, but when he's out there, he allows you to pull off switches at all five positions. And that is something when you can switch at all five spots, it really elevates everything you do defensively.
Bob, when people bring up the SLU game against VCU to me, they mention the skirmish at the end. It wasn't a brawl, but the pushing and shoving at the end. And I understand that because that's how people put out stories that get clicks, and that got all the attention, where the attention should have been the great second half. But I am glad that nobody got suspended, that the matter is considered closed. Heat of the moment thing, because at the moment, as I'm watching it, I'm saying, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, and so is Josh Schertz. There's no reason to ruin what has been a runaway train here for SLU this season.
And to be fair, so was Phil Martelli Jr., VCU coach, because you could have come down with a heavy hand and issued a ton of suspensions and really messed up the run late. Now, I'm not going to say that the Atlantic 10 didn't issue suspensions to protect their two best teams, but it certainly worked out pretty well in that regard. And because there were no punches thrown, in fact, the Robbie Avila foul, I mean, it was ticky-tack. It was a flop to get the three-point to get the free throws. Hey, tip your cap, the flop worked, right, for VCU. So I think when you look at all the factors combined, I think probably no suspensions was good. There were two after-the-whistle shoves in the back, one by VCU, one by SLU. If it would have come out with a couple of suspensions there, you know, I could see it. But I think the Atlantic 10 was wise in the way they adjudicated the whole process.
Final thing, we look at the Atlantic 10 right now, and it's all there for St. Louis. I mean, if the Billikens want to do this, they have an opening. They have a two-game lead in the loss column on VCU. There's nobody even close right now. I mean, you can finish the job here and be the number one seed.
No question about it. It's right there in front of you. And it is kind of exciting if you just like following the leagues and who's winning and who's not. It's going to be a mad dash to the finish. There's a bunch of teams all clumped up behind VCU for the 3 and 4 spots in the league. And I think it's going to be a mad dash to see who gets the byes in the tournament. But at the end, whether you get a double bye, a single bye, or you got to win, you know, you got to start playing on Wednesday and try and get to Sunday. I just love conference basketball, just like fans in St. Louis will be treated to the Missouri Valley Conference. And you love college basketball like I do. The next couple of weeks are going to be really, really fun.
So much fun. March is that close. It starts, though, with Dayton tomorrow night. Bob Ramsey will have the call with Earl Austin Jr., 6 o'clock tip, 5:45 pregame right here on KMOX.
Now back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Gas House Gang on KMOX with Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. Fun show so far. We've had Matt Pauley reporting from Jupiter. We've had Diego Giuliani, the president of St. Louis City SC. We had the voice of the Billikens, Bob Ramsey. I mean, we're just going right around the horn. We're going to go right back to baseball. Let's do this. Jojo Romero is trying to get out of the inning. 1-1 game, top of the third in Jupiter. Cards, Marlins. Matt Pauley's on the call right now.
Hernandez to third, and Morrell will take second. And we'll watch and see how they will score it. There's for sure going to be one error. I don't know if they would. It was going to be a tough play for Weatherholt on the first attempt, so you think there might be a base hit in there.
Might be because of Morrell's speed, yeah. But had he picked the ball cleanly, there was a chance of throwing Morrell out at first base. And two errors so far against Weatherholt, and they've been trying to go up the middle, backhanding the ball.
Backhanding both balls hit him, it seemed like, in the heel of the glove.
Mm-hmm. And then fell to the ground.
Yep. He's looking at his glove now like, how dare you?
They do rule it a base hit.
I'm fine with that.
And then the error on Weatherholt, allowing the runners to move up. Runners on second and third now. Counts 1-1 as the pitch misses outside, 2-1 to Connor Norby, the Marlins' right-handed hitting third baseman.
Now we'll see how JoJo works around this, trying to limit the damage to just one run.
It's a 2-1 ball game. The Marlins just taking the lead. The lefty Romero delivers the 2-1. This is lifted high in the air to center field. Church has a beat on it, comes in, makes the catch, and that ends the inning. One run scores for the Marlins. They take a 2-1 lead into the bottom of the third.
All right, Matt Pauley, John Rooney, Mike Claiborne with the call there as they head to the bottom of the third. A 2-1 lead for the Marlins. So a ground ball up the middle. Weatherholt, wearing number 77 on his uniform, tried to make the play. It's ruled a hit. As the ball did get away from him, a diving play to his right, a run scored to break the 1-1 tie, and the Cardinals trail 2-1. Romero gets out of the rest of it with a fly ball. That's a little look-in if you want to catch the rest of it. Just go to KMOX.com. We have the link right there. You can hear the game. It is being streamed right now. But I thought it'd be fun to see what's going on down there at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium.
How about Cardinals baseball on the radio? Regardless of what the... you know, the predictions are for the team, the projections, not especially good, but just a hearing over the weekend, getting in the car, flipping on the old radio, hearing Rooney and Ricky talking baseball, and you hear the sounds. It's just I love this part of the year. Now, there's nothing like opening day. Opening day is the best, but there is something about that first couple of spring games. When you hear it, it's not the loud baseball crowd you expect during a regular season, but there's just something about a very relaxed game, and you can hear everything on the field. You hear the crack of the bat, you hear guys walking up the steps. It's different. And when it happens, you know the season's about to change.
Absolutely. And if you ever get a chance to go down there, it is absolutely worth it to spend some time around the club. You do get baseball in its purest form. You can get right up close. And for us in the media to be able to cover the team on a daily basis down in spring training, we get to do things we don't get to do in the regular season where, you know, the players are out. We can watch them practice. We can be out on the field while they're practicing at the various fields out there at the complex. You get to spend some time chatting with them on and off the record. We see them around town. You know, during the season, everybody's got tight responsibilities, meetings. The availability is very little. I mean, we get to be at Busch Stadium and see them in a big league game, but the accessibility and the ways that we're able to see all the minor leaguers and the major leaguers all at the same time, you can do that as a fan. They open up access to the fields. It's really a neat thing, and you're right. I mean, it's great to hear the games on the radio, Chris. It just brings us back to what we are meant to do here at KMOX, which is to broadcast Cardinal baseball in St. Louis. It's part of who we are. It's been handed down generation to generation, and mostly it doesn't matter what kind of a day you've had. It is a guarantee, unless it's an off day, that you're going to have baseball on the radio from February to, God willing, November, if you can win a world championship. I mean, it's a nice thing.
And there's a message we got, a listener texting in, saying this fan feels offended when the voice of the Cardinals does not carry Cardinals games because we didn't, you know, it's not the main thing we're doing right now. We dipped in for a little bit. But here's the thing about that. We carry a lot of Cardinals spring baseball. And I will tell you that nobody, there is no team in baseball that puts over the radio, over the air, every single one of their spring games. They just don't do it. You get a handful here and there, and you can catch just about every one of them in one form or another, whether it's here on 104.1 or 11:20, like tomorrow night, we'll have 11:20 a.m. It's a 5:05 game. So we've got that one on 11:20. 104.1 will still be our programming that we've got now. But if you're listening on 11:20 a.m. in the affiliates, you can get it tomorrow. You can get games on the stream on Cardinals.com or the link on KMOX.com. But we air a lot of spring baseball compared to what other teams do. This is a lot. Almost every single one of the games this spring, I think, is covered in one form or another.
Absolutely. And in collaboration with the Cardinals, we put out those broadcast plans. And then during the season, of course, all of the games are right here during the regular season. And we also have just an incredible amount of affiliates on this Cardinals radio network. We're at over 160 at this point. It is a massive network that covers all of these states and regions in the Cardinals listening area. So we appreciate it very much. We got some comments that have come in, including the E-line wanted to know, could Mizzou make the big dance? Could there be a St. Louis University versus Mizzou or Illinois matchup in the first round? You never know. I would say doubtful that you would have that matchup unless Illinois and St. Louis both end up in St. Louis. It's possible, I guess. And I think it's possible. What I'd like to see, if you're asking me, is somehow for SLU and Mizzou to hook up, since I think Mizzou has been avoiding that one for a little while, that the selection committee would get creative and put them in the same bracket. That has happened before. We've seen them do that with various rivalries and matchups. Mizzou does get into the NCAA tournament if they get to 10 SEC wins, I think. They're at 8. If they can get to 10, I don't see how you turn them away necessarily. But they've got to get to 10. They still need to get two more. Illinois is in. They're locked in. They're ranked 10th in the country now.
They're more concerned about being a 1 or a 2 seed.
They're a Final Four contender for sure and a national championship contender in my estimation. They're still ranked 10th in the new AP Top 25. SLU drops 5 spots from 18 down to 23.
Still in.
That's because of their loss to Rhode Island a week ago, but they come roaring back and they hammer VCU, and then tomorrow night we have them against Dayton.
If they stay in the top 25 the remainder of the year, no matter what happens, I know some people are worried about their at-large chances. You stay in the top 25, you're good.
Just keep on winning. And let me tell you, you don't want to face them.
No, you don't.
Thank you, my friend. For Chris Ranji, I'm Tom Ackerman. Bernie Miklas joins us tomorrow on KMOX.